Good to the program, Simon Garlick.
Good on you, Clint. Thanks for having me on.
It's been that sort of morning, Simon. It's been that sort of day, I reckon, last 24 hours for Fremantle as well. How much of a blow to the club not being able to have the Len Hall game tonight?
Look, it's significant, Clint. It's, you know, without doubt, our biggest theme round of the year, and in reality, our biggest round of the year by our home derby. So incredibly disappointing in relation to the amount of time and effort and resources that has been applied in the lead up by all of our staff, not just obviously the football department, but the guys do an incredible job building up to what's an amazing experience of a Len Hall game. Anyone that's been there knows that it's as powerful, that it's unique. So we're obviously disappointed that our members and fans won't be able to see the tribute and the service that we've put forward together. And then, you know, there's the obvious from a financial perspective. We had over 45,000 tickets downloaded and sold after the Premier's announcement yesterday. And historically, the 24 hours in the lead-up to the game is our highest selling period. So it was shaping up to be a fantastic occasion on all fronts. And unfortunately, it's not to be.
How much of a blow financially is it to you? Can you give us a ballpark figure?
Yeah, it's difficult to put an absolute number on it, Clint, as you said, but the reality of the direct impact would be at least seven figures, at least $1 million from the ticket sales from the game, you know, catering rebate, you know, there's cancellation fees that are engaged. So that'll be a seven-figure impact at the start. And then, you know, there's a few variables. You know, understandably, we'll work with our unbelievable membership and those and the members and supporters who've got season ticket holders and the like to work out how we work through that scenario with them. They were incredible support to us last year, but understandably, they've bought an 11-game membership to the Fremantle Dockers, and we need to work through what that means from a credit or a refund perspective as well.
One of the great things by your member support last year is it did mean you were able to remain an unassisted club without AFL support. With what's happened for the Len Hall game, which is one of your biggest sellers, are you now concerned that that might change, that you might need to look to go to the AFL if this continues for any length of time?
So certainly not in the short term, Clint. You know, we've been working through our forecasts and, you know, it was ironically looking really positive in the lead up this week. We did a fair bit of work, as we do constantly, but off the back of 11 home games at either, you know, 75% or recently to move to 100% capacity, we're in really good shape to head towards the end of the year, certainly debt-free and with some cash reserves and hit the ground running for 2022 and beyond. This will clearly have an impact. The magnitude of it is something we'll need to work through. I think there'll be a fair bit of whether it's limited to one game. If that's the case, then I think we'll be able to come through in a reasonable position. If it extends beyond that, obviously, which none of us know, then, you know, the impact could be greater.
Simon, Mark Duffield, thanks for joining us on the show this morning. From a football operations perspective, all your players and staff were being tested last night. I presume that's all come back all clear?
Haven't heard any differently, Mark, so I think I would have at this stage, so pretty hopeful that's the case.
Yeah, and after the game, your players basically go into lockdown until at least Tuesday morning, as will West Coast. So how does that affect in terms of your ability to train and do those sorts of things?
Yeah, we're actually working through the absolute detail of the directions. Obviously, this is something that came to the government in pretty quick time as well too. So we've got actually landed with their specific directions to us this morning. We'll flow into essentially what the community expectations and standards are, Mark. So, you know, you're right, we'll play the game tonight. Guys, you know, our boys are going to be able to train in groups of four within 5 kilometres for an hour, you know, in the next couple of days, or exercise, I should say, under the standard direction. So, you know, in reality, that probably won't impact us too much because there's not much done in the 2 days immediately following a game. The guys usually have the day off post a game to recover, and then it's a very light session 2 days following. So that won't impact us significantly. Clearly, if it goes beyond midnight on Monday night, there'll have to be other scenarios put in place.
Simon, Mick Maldes, just on what you just said then, if a Victorian side, let's say Melbourne has got the same scenario, a lockdown for X amount of days, and the teams are told they can't train, you would be told by the AFL that you have to also fall into line, wouldn't that? Is that fair to say? I know it happened last year where you guys...
There's been a couple of instances, and there's been a bit of a variation. Interestingly, at the start of this year, we had 14 players in Melbourne when the Black Rock cluster broke out, who had to come back to Perth, and we're limited. So we weren't able to train as a full group for the first 2 weeks of pre-season from January. We did get exemptions, and we're able to train as a group of 14. So the disadvantage wasn't that significant. The AFL, where it's got to, Mick, is last year, whatever was impacted on one or two clubs was applied across the competition. The AFL are trying to be a little bit more flexible, depending on what the significance of an inconvenience is. So for this instance, the AFL aren't going to mandate across the competition that there's 2 days that clubs have to not train just because of that. What's happened to us on West Coast. If it's extended beyond that, we'd like to think that there'd be some close examination of how equity could be applied across the other clubs. And to be frank, the AFL have tried to look to make sure that there's equity applied in these situations. It's not always perfect.
Well, equity means that all clubs should shut down for 2 days. I mean, it's not your fault, nor the West Coast Eagles' fault, nor North Melbourne for that matter. I'm just a bit bemused by the inconsistencies that we see within governments, of course, and also within the AFL. I'm just a bit surprised. And just taking up that thing about the finances, is there not some system that will, again, it's not your fault that no one will go to the game. Is there not a pool or a fund or something? I'm not up with the finances of the AFL, but surely to goodness, you should not be suffering this sort of imposition outside of the fact that you have had no say in what's happening. Is there something you can draw on? Because no one wants to see a club, particularly when they has done pretty well and looks like this is your big financial day, going to miss out on so much.
I think it's an interesting question, Mick. Last year was a fascinating study in the sense that we were fortunate enough to have 7 home games. It was at 50% capacity, but it was a real advantage for us where there were Melbourne-based clubs who didn't have any home games played in front of any crowd, so the impact on their membership was far larger. So there are swings and roundabouts from time to time. Unfortunately, we've drawn the dud card on this occasion. The AFL are pretty professional these days in working with clubs in individual situations. So if this was an ongoing issue and really did disadvantage us, then we'd work through them to assist us. As I said, I think the strong position we've been in on the basis of how strongly our membership supported us last year has us in ability to get through this. It's going to be challenging. We're certainly not going to be where we wanted to be, and we'll have to work closely with our members to come through it in the best shape possible. But if it is limited to one game, Nick, we'll get through it and we'll be okay, and we need to carry on from there.
Right. So just for the listeners, and for that matter myself,
sure,
with these chartered flights that you guys have been taken. Did North Melbourne come in on a chartered flight, by the way?
I couldn't tell you exactly if they had. I know West Coast went over east.
So who picks up the tabs of that? That would be rather expensive, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. And last year, all clubs were travelling in chartered flights. This year, with less instances and for the period of time over the last few months where there hasn't been impacted, most clubs have been travelling just in a standard domestic fashion. So, it varies a little bit. It'd be interesting to see what happens in coming weeks. But I think it's case by case. The other challenge that's come to pass this year with travel, Mick, is the availability is far less. Virgin, who's the AFL, are putting on less services. So I think that's what would have been the case. I haven't spoken to West Coast at all, but I assume there was difficulty in getting them, to Geelong at the appropriate time. So a charter was taken. It's not just us wearing an impact. Other clubs, the AFL, has been severely impacted, obviously. So they're looking to use charters sparingly, I would have thought. But it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next few weeks.
Simon Garlick, CEO of the Fremantle Dockers, is with us here on Sports Talk. Simon, how did you feel when the fixtures came out and you saw that St Kilda had been given a Friday night game when Fremantle struggled to get them?
It's an interesting one. There's inherent challenges with the rolling fixture in terms of communicating to your member base and the planning that goes around it. It is really quite significant in terms of the implications. But I absolutely see the benefit. I think we've all really enjoyed having some of the higher rating games and the clubs who may not have expected to be playing as well, put in some of those slots and fixtures. The one thing I do know, Clint, is that the fixture, I think, externally can look relatively straightforward and simple. And for us to say, geez, the Saints have had a couple of poor weeks, it's interesting they're there. There'll be flow-on impacts in terms of when they've played, six-day breaks compared to their opposition that have probably driven that. As I understand it, obviously I've got more of a focus on the Fremantle draw, but as I understand it, I think there's a pretty high-rating game on the Saturday night of that weekend. Whether that could have been on the Friday night, you know, is obviously a question that you guys would pose. But clearly, I think there's real opportunities, and we're buoyed by the fact that, you know, if we perform, we put ourselves out there in a really contending later in the year, then there may be the opportunities for us to have some Saturday night or even Friday night fixtures. But I can assure Fremantle fans that that's the conversations I've been having over regular periods, and it's just up to us now to really perform and earn that spot.
Simon, the AFL, when it is confronted with these things now, it draws up sort of scenarios and, you know, plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D, plan E, plan F. Where is you and West Coast leaving Western Australia to go to a hub? How far down the pecking order is that, and how far are we away from that if this isn't cleared up in a matter of days?
I'm hoping it's about plan X or Y stuff. That might be a bit optimistic. Given the fact that I spoke to Gillen about 10 minutes before the Premier's press conference and he was chasing his girls' footy team around, this is pretty new news to them as well too. But we've been working overnight with the AFL and obviously our planning, as you say, around all those types of different scenarios. I think the real challenge for us all is that, you know, we don't know if this is going to be a three-day lockdown that we come out of at midnight on Monday and life, you know, essentially goes back to as normal as possible, or whether this is going to extend. So we're working on that and we're understanding. And Peter and Joe and Justin, you know, our leaders of our football department, are certainly well aware that, you know, that things into our consideration. The focus that we've looked to try and make sure absolutely remains is 6:15 tonight against, you know, a Kangaroos side who played some pretty good footy over the last couple of weeks and aren't going to be concerning themselves with all those plans. So that's up to me and the administration to make sure we've got sorted out and ensure that Justin and the boys just completely focus in on tonight.
A couple of key re-signing issues for you. At what point do you look at Justin Longmuir? He's early in the second year of a three-year deal. And where are your talks with Adam Chera at?
Yeah, you mentioned it, Mark. JL's not yet halfway through his initial contract. He's doing a tremendous job. I think that's obvious for all to see and understand. There's a bit of commentary around that at the moment. Not only is Justin doing a great job, but we're really pleased with the connection and engagement and collaboration of our entire football department. But we, you know, to answer your question, we couldn't be more pleased with how Justin's progressing within the role. But at this point in time, the absolute focus for him, I know, and certainly us as a club, is on tonight and our immediate focus areas, and we'll work through that, you know, at the appropriate time.
And Chera?
Yeah, Chera, I think I mentioned a little while back, I can't remember who it was I was speaking to, but he's clearly you know, an outstanding young man. We think the world of him from that sense, and as a player, you couldn't ask for a more invested player in the group and the program itself. We're having really positive discussions with Adam and his management, so we'll look forward to progressing those positively and, you know, hopefully coming to some sort of agreement in coming weeks or months.
Simon, appreciate your time. Really sorry that the Len Hall game won't be able to go ahead. It is where your team down there do such a wonderful job by putting it all together. It's a shame it won't happen this year, but best of luck for the fixture itself. Cheers for chatting.
I appreciate it, Clint. Thanks for having me on.